This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Thanks for spending some of your morning with us. Sam Crenshaw in up until 10 without Greg. We're trying to figure out where he is. It's a holiday. He would bail out on. He would bail on me on a holiday, wouldn't he? He's away. Still, Bo is here on the other side of the glass. And we can't hear him because we won't let his microphone work. But he's here. And he's got something special happening next weekend. We're going to. Yes. All mics matter. I'll tell you some things that he's doing coming up next weekend with Madden tournament that is big, happening in our area, and he's in the mix. So we're going to get into that as well with him. If you're traveling safely, if you're heading to early morning services this morning, as some people do, a lot of people do on this holiday Sunday, do go with care. If you're going to one outside, you want to get something a little warm because it's a little chilly out there, especially if you're headed up to Stone Mountain. Of course, this week is a big week for your National Football League fan. First of all, because the schedules came out, and next week the draft takes place. And this week we have David T. Thomas, one of the experts on the draft, follows things. He was on the morning show with John and Hugh, and he had these thoughts about a special event that Hugh Douglas attended.
Just Dave T., good morning.
Well, hey, listen, I'm celebrating. It's been 25 years, brother man, so I got my grass skirt on that we wore at the Hula Bowl. And
if you didn't know, John, Dave T. was the cat. He got me into the Hula Bowl because at the time, coming from Central State University, a lot of people didn't know about me. They didn't know if I could actually play at the next level. So
well,
Dave T.
The funny thing is, I got turned on to you by a former player at his school that I had gotten into a bowl game years earlier, and that was Eddie Britton. That's usually how I work. I got started at age 14 in this thing in 67 with Al Davis. When I started taking over these bowl games, my whole thing was making sure that the unknown element was brought in. Eddie sent me some VHS tapes, and I'm looking at this kid with hair on fire out there. Only 6'2". Now, I don't even know if you knows this, but 6'2" and under sack specialist, you is third all-time in the NFL. Leroy Glover is ahead of him. I forgot who the other guy was, but that is it as far as the 6'2" types. Everybody was looking for the 6'5". We're out at the Hula Bowl, first day of practice. He's killing people. I'm praying to dear God he doesn't kill my quarterback. I got a tug on my shirt. Leon Hess. All the owners come out to the Hula Bowl. All the coaches ended up going to the Senior Bowl, and it was the same week. He tugs on my shirt. He goes, "Who the hell is that?" I said, "That's my guy, man. This is up Burnham, Central State, Ohio. Where the hell is that?" I had to go ahead and basically be his own GPS. Next thing I know, the next day, his new head coach, Rich Kotite, out at the Hula Bowl. He flew him in from the Senior Bowl to see the guy.
Wow. See, I didn't know all of that. As a matter of fact, Dave T., what happened to the Hula Bowl? Why did they get rid of that game?
You knew, hey, look at the promoters out there. What happened, you? I mean, you come out there and everything, they had these certain promises. You show up, they have this big blast flea market going on and everything. They're caring about the Kevin Carter because he's the big name, the Cordell Stewart. The other guys fell by the wayside. I went to the bank, got a whole bunch of Ben Franklins. I think I even handed you one over there. Get yourself out, man. Go hit that damn flea market, man.
Hey, that'll do it. That'll do it.
Wow, the thing is, the bowls are relied upon by the sponsors, and the sponsors just they don't want to come out there anymore. But look at the legacy of the guys that come out of these bowl games. I mean, Tom Brady, that was a classic case in point. I fought for him down at the Blue-Gray game, then took him over to the Hula Bowl. I don't think anybody's going to toss him back into the heat.
No, probably not. Dave T. Thomas joining us this morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Director of Operations for Scouting Services, Inc., which services all the major sports brands Hey, Dave T., let's talk a little bit about the draft. I'm all over the place with the Atlanta Falcons. I see them bringing in Claiborne, and they're bringing in Davison, now Odom on the defensive line. They brought in offensive linemen. I don't know where they're going with this 14th pick. Do you have any idea?
Well, they were very high on moving up to get Ed Oliver. They thought that they were going to get a deal going down with Detroit. But the thing that's coming down is Oliver is really not impressing upon people except for Chucky. So everybody's sitting back to see what's happening at number four. I could tell you that this thing is so positive, you could call me Mr. Proton, that even if Kyler Murray gets past Arizona, Oakland will not pick him up. They finally settled in. They said they're going with Carr. They're going with defense with the three draft picks. I still say Mike Mayock's going to have to lock up Gruden in a closet somewhere during day one. But I'm looking at what's going on with Atlanta right now. Obvious needs are going to be on the line, whether it's offense or defense. Honestly, if I was picking and I came up in 14 and I'm seeing a 350-pounder with 505 speed, I got to bring Grady Jarrett's alumni in with him and go for Dexter Lawrence. Still, I look on the other side of the ball. The most sound technician you're going to find as a blocker, whether I'm playing him at guard or tackle, is Jonah Williams. However, if I need pass protection at my right tackle spot, oh, my God, I got to go up to Cougar territory and walk away with Andre Dillard. It all comes down to what falls in place. I'm predicting about 40 draft picks in the first two rounds are going to end up trading. That's wow. How much busy activity we're going to have. Everything comes down to what Arizona's doing here. Now, I'm here in Phoenix, and I'm pretty much tied in with the organization. We got a coach that loves a quarterback. We got an ownership that loves a defensive end. And we got management that loves a defensive tackle, who I think is the best player in this draft, and Quinnen Williams.
Talking with Dave T. Thomas about the NFL draft and what we can expect 9 days from now.
When you talk about Ed Oliver, I've heard a lot of things about him. They say he is one of the quickest, if not the quickest, D tackle in the draft this year. What have you seen so far on film from Ed Oliver?
Teddy Bruschi. I won't play him. I won't play him as a one tech or a three tech. Me, I got to take that guy and I got to stand him up. If I got a 3-4 defense, I'm playing him at the strong side inside linebacker position. This guy needs to be mobile. He needs to be moving around. Hell, if I wanted to go ahead and get a quality defensive tackle, I could wait till round two and walk away with another guy that plays like you, Douglas, with his hair on fire, and that's Draymond Jones up at Ohio State. I think that would be a great under tackle to go up against Grady, alongside Grady, unless they fall in love with the big boy over at Clemson, which is Dexter Lawrence.
Talking with Dave T. Thomas about some of the draft possibilities. Does Kyler Murray, you talked about it. Does Arizona pass on him? And if so, how does he start falling?
Well, you got to look at one thing. It's not the matter of his talent on the field. His talent is unquestionable. But are you going to find offensive linemen are going to be fast enough to protect that guy? On top of it, look what he did with the Oakland A's. I'm 110% in with baseball. Thank you very much for that check. Oh, by the way, I'm not returning $221,000 of your money. You know, if he wanted to show that he was upright about his desire to play football, he would have given back all the money. How am I going to look at this guy and be confident with my first pick in the draft on him? Now, he's going to get up at Arizona. You look at that offensive line over there. I mean, if he ends up signing with Arizona, he's going to have to sign with Affleck, man, because he's going to need that bird on the sidelines when he gets hurt.
Yeah, you're going to get killed, right?
I mean,
he's
got the worst offensive line in football, guys.
You know, Dave T., talking about that, is that one of the reasons why, coming out of the combine, that there were conflicting stories about this young man's character because of some of the things that how he handled the Oakland A's? Was that part of the reason why?
Well, not only the Oakland A's. Look at the combine. He shows up, okay, listen, man, come here and measure my hair. No, I'm not going to run. We'll do that when you get to Oklahoma. Everybody goes out to Norman, and it's like, you know what, I'll throw the balls around. Why don't you go watch tape on me? All of a sudden, you know, that little love, that little infatuation you have, it's sort of like 3 o'clock in the morning, you're at the bar. Everything looks good. You wake up at 6:30 in the morning and see what's next to you in bed, man. You're jumping up and running out the door.
All right, so who do you look at? Do you look at Nick Bosa? Do you look at
Quinnen Williams? I mean, everybody that says he's Joey 2.0, I'm right? Telling him he's John 2.0, his father.
So he's not Joey.
Here's the thing. I'm worried about the ACL. I don't think that ACL is fully healed from high school. Mm. And then you got to look at the way he bailed out on the team. I mean, that dude could have returned near the end of the season, and it probably would have even been beneficial that if he did out there to prove to everybody that everything is okay with his injury factor. I'm tired of these kids controlling. You, look at what's going on. I mean, why the hell even hold the bowl season anymore if all of a sudden these kids play Roberto Duran after the end of the regular season? No mas, I'm going to go work for the combine.
Yeah, I mean, this is getting to be a thing. No question about that. Dave T. Thomas, draft expert between now and draft day, you're going to hear a lot of him talking about the draft.
You know, people have made a big deal about this. Elijah Holyfield's speed, Dave T. Can he still be a serviceable back in the NFL with that, 4.8 speed?
Go look at Antonio Gates last year. I mean, you're talking about a guy, 1, Mississippi, 2, Mississippi, running with the ball. But everybody was being dragged with him, right? That's what you're going to get from Holyfield. You see, if I got a short yardage situation, look at Crockett years ago. Look at the way they used Crockett. That's what I see him, the second coming of Zach. I mean, this is a kid that's going to get in the league, and he's going to get the dirt for you. And this is going to be a guy that's going to step on the field and have the dirtiest uniform from day one. I'm not worried about the speed so much, unless it was a thing, hey, man, I want to make you a scat back. Obviously, that's not going to happen. And speaking about speed and everything else, I see McCole Hardman shooting up the draft chart so much that Mr. Ridley's left in his dust.
Yeah.
The reason behind it, whoever gets him gets Tyreek Hill 2.0.
Yeah.
That kid is phenomenal, man.
Yeah, the Falcons are trying to sit on him a little bit, but I don't think they can. I know the Falcons would love to have McCole Hardman.
Everybody needs speed. Everybody needs
right.
the versatility. And look at the kid. I mean, you talk about the second coming of Hines Ward, great second-level blocker, former quarterback just like Ward. I'd love to see him up at Pittsburgh.
Dave T., it's always a pleasure. We expect to talk to you again.
My man.
Here as we approach the draft. And, of course, he's a co-host of the Scouts Honor podcast with Paul Crane. And he's going to be hanging around. So great stuff. Thanks, Dave T. Do appreciate.
Take care, guys.
There you hear it there. Dave T. Thomas spending some time with John Freaky and Hugh Douglas earlier this week, telling some interesting stories about Hugh and his being a part of Hugh coming along, getting a chance to play the Hula Bowl out of Central State in Ohio. And, you know, Hugh's story is a fantastic story. For those of you who don't know that, we know what he did as a player, but just to get there, his arrival and to get to that place, really impressive. And we're really proud of our co-worker and our cohort here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As for Dave T. Thomas, you can get to hear him later on today from 2 until 4. He and Paul Crane are going to be bringing you everything about the draft. You can tell he's got the knowledge about the players, who may go where, what teams may decide to do. It'll be an entertaining 2 hours from 2 until 4 coming up today. Paul Crane, along with David T. Thomas, who is the scouting from Scouting Services Incorporated, Director of Operations. He's been an advisor to so many teams around the NFL, and his insight and just the way he does it, his mannerisms, and the things that he does to explain why he feels a certain way. You know what? And I agree with him about Elijah Holyfield. I think the people are making too much about his 40 time. I think he's that guy you want to get down and dirty and get you that extra yard and get you that – it can make your chains move. I think he's going to be that kind of back in the National Football League. And if there's a team that has a need for that kind of running back, that's what you're going to get. I mean, I don't think you're looking for the home run hitter or the scat back of the guy who's going to do those type things. But I do believe that – that's the kind of runner he's going to be. That's what we saw a lot of in Georgia. I don't worry about his 40 time. But, I mean, if that's what you feel like it takes, if you get into that, that's you. But I'm with Dave T. on that. All right. How about the schedules? You like the Falcons schedule? Who has the toughest schedule? Who has the easiest schedule coming up? We're going to spend some time with the guy who always drops some knowledge with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on weekend mornings. Russell Baxter is coming up next. You stay with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. On a game day Sunday morning, an Easter Sunday morning, beautiful sunshine outside our Kia studio windows, 9 floors up here in lovely Midtown at Colony Square. Hope it is well wherever you are and wherever you're watching on this holiday Sunday morning. So glad to have you with us, Sam Crenshaw. Greg's away. We got Bo on the other side of the glass. And we're going to tell you something that's coming up with him coming up in the next segment. But in this segment, as promised, the guy that we always love to play the Supremes music for, Covet joins us now on the waitforit.com hotline. Russell Baxter, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir. It's already a good morning with Diana Ross and the Supremes, or I should say the Supremes, not quite Diana Ross and the Supremes yet.
Yep.
But still my favorite song of all time.
There you go. There you go. There you go. We wanted to make sure, make you feel welcome. This is a big week, obviously, in the NFL. We got the draft coming up, but we've had the schedules released. And I don't know if this time of year gets you excited and get you stirred up. You looked at the schedules, and what did you see overall? Who's got the toughest? Who's got the easiest?
Well, I never kind of go by that, to be honest with you, Sam. What I always look are trends in the schedule. And Atlanta has a very, very intriguing one, to be honest with you. But stuff like this, and I know there's already been a little uproar about both the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Oakland Raiders, who play four road games. Now, I got to explain this. Four road games in a 6-week stretch. Okay? Now, that's not overly unusual, but the one quote-unquote home game for both of those teams in between are trips to London. Okay? The Raiders play the Bears. The Buccaneers play the Panthers. So, in essence, for instance, Tampa Bay, at the Rams, at the Saints, Panthers at London, off week, at Tennessee, at Seattle. Translation, they're away from their home stadium for 6 weeks. Same thing with the Raiders, which I don't understand whatsoever. Your one home game over that stretch happens to be a trip to London. That's an awful lot of travel. So those are the kind of things I keep an eye on. But when I was looking at the Falcons schedule, this couldn't be ignored. They don't play a divisional game until November 10th, Sam.
Right.
And then they play five in a row. So Saints, at Saints, at Panthers, home Bucks, Saints on Thanksgiving, home Carolina. So they have some work to do in the early part of the season, almost kind of getting their team together, okay, regardless of who they're playing. But the meat of their schedule, the important part of their schedule, doesn't begin until after their off week.
How do you feel about that? Do you like that or not? I'm kind of okay with it, being backloaded and with every game coming down the stretch being a crucial game to make it into the postseason.
Yeah, no, listen, you got to play those teams eventually. You know, the one thing, if you're a team, which I've always found to be, I hear fans sometimes complain about, and certain members of the media, is a schedule that's sometimes front-loaded with road games. And to me, that plays to a team's advantage if you take advantage of it. They play five of their first six on the road. I'm just throwing that out there.
Right.
You know, they're going to dig themselves a 1-4 hole or a 1-5 hole, and they won't be able to recover for it. Well, first off, if you could predict that, get me the Powerball numbers, okay? But more importantly, let's just go back to last year, Sam, and this idea that you can't dig yourself a hole and make the playoffs. See, the Texans were 0-3, correct?
Right.
The Colts were 1-5. The Bears were 3-3. The Patriots were 1-2. The Chargers were 1-2. Should I go on? On and on and on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not impossible to dig yourself a hole, okay? I think sometimes we put too much value into the early part of the season. We say this constantly about the New England Patriots. They're going to be about 2-2 during the first four games of the year, and then they're going to win the whole thing. And more times than not, that's exactly what kind of happened.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of what's happened now throughout the league. And I know, you know, in previous shows that you and I have talked about, the way that the NFL offseason is built for teams, it is very hard to be playing peak football early in the season. Listen, the Rams got off to an 8-0 start. I understand that. The Chiefs got off to a 5-0 start each of the last 2 years. I get that as well. But because of the way training camp is laid out, the preseason is laid out. It's almost as if the preseason is now your training camp, and the first four games of the regular season is your preseason.
I know that's the way it came out last year because you saw a lot of the regulars and your starters getting such limited playing time in the preseason last year.
It used to be, Sam, you also know that it used to be the third preseason game. Remember, it's the third was the quote-unquote dress rehearsal.
Right.
Well, I don't know about you. I saw a lot of understudies during the third preseason game last year. You're seeing less and less regulars play even in the third preseason game.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're, and fans get upset, pay big money. It's part of the season ticket package. I should be able to see people, et cetera, et cetera. That, I don't think it's going to change until we finally get to an 18-game schedule and two preseason games, and those two preseason games are played with a little more, I don't want to say serious and so on, but I think you would see more regulars in two preseason games than you would in four preseason games.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Folks, we're spending time on this holiday Sunday morning on the waitfor.com hotline with Russell Baxter. He's all things NFL. You can follow him on Twitter at BaxFootballGuru, at BaxFootballGuru. One more thing about the Falcons' schedule, potentially, they don't play a game outside until they play the Carolina Panthers on November 17th because all the other places have a retractable. They probably will be outside. The roof will probably be open in Minnesota and probably in Indianapolis, but or probably in Houston. But they could be closed.
That's very true. And it's funny. They play a game at Arizona, okay? And theoretically, you would think it would be open, but depending on the temperature in Arizona that day, you never know with that either. So, it's and for the Falcons, regardless, here's the thing, regardless of the open or closed, some of those surfaces that they're going to play on, like their owner, fast track. And, the Falcons, as we saw last year, who really rebounded offensively last season, their issues are going to be defense. Can their defense stay healthy? I think their offseason priority this year was making sure what happened last year, which I know you can't predict injuries, but of course in the first couple of weeks they lost Neal and they lost Ricardo Allen and Deion Jones, who eventually came back, Deion Jones, but still the damage had been done. You know, you look at how many points they scored, well over 400 points for the Falcons last year, but gave up over 400 points. So for them, it's going to be the priority. And free agency-wise, I think they've done exactly what they wanted to done is fortify the offensive line. They have two new starting guards in Carpenter and Jamon Brown. But defense, as you know, Dan Quinn is the defensive coordinator this year, along with being the head coach. They got to find some ways to stop some people so they can get back to the playoffs. And, they had, with all the teams, and then there were seven teams that missed the playoffs last year that were in the playoffs in 2017.
Right.
I think that if you want to use the word snake bitten in terms of injuries, I think the Falcons probably had that list.
I watched the schedule. You mentioned Coach Quinn taking over the defense. He faces his old team in Seattle. That's the last team they face in October before the break. That game will be here. Thoughts about the decision this week, Russell Wilson and that big contract. Did that surprise you at all?
I think the amount surprised me a little, but you get what you can get. And in some ways, I think it's almost a little bit of a thing. Let's not forget Russell Wilson, his original contract, okay, it would serve the Seattle Seahawks very, very well. For those 4 years. Remember, 2012, he was a third-round draft choice, so
right. Not
making a ton of money, enabled them to pay some of their other stars for a couple of years. Richard Sherman comes to mind and so on. But eventually, if a player like Wilson Russell Wilson, by the way, who's never missed a game
right. In
seven NFL seasons, they've been in the playoffs six times in the NFL seasons. More times than not, they've won at least one playoff game. To me, if you take the total picture in consideration, Sam, 4 years, 140 million, is a bargain if you consider what they paid for him the first 6 or 7 years of his deal.
Yep, that is big. That is huge. What they did.
And it keeps him there. And, you know, last year they were really built around the offense for a change. Their defense was, you know, was middle of the pack, okay? But they ran the ball better than any other team in the league after a little bit of a slow start. Their offensive line came together. They made some changes at coordinator, changes on offensive line. It's a little bit of a different team. It's not the Legion of Boom team. It's now hustle with Russell.
Yeah. Yep. That's different. That's different as we look ahead to this schedules coming up for this year. Russell, we thank you for spending some time on this holiday Sunday morning, getting up and sharing your thoughts on the Falcons and the schedule and what's coming up. This is a big, big week, as always, with the schedules out now the draft. We thank you. People are going to be following you. Definitely tell them how they can follow you all week long on Twitter, at Backs Football Guru. Thanks so much for the time.
You get it, and good luck today with finding those eggs.
All right, we're going to see if we can't find them, Ross. We can find the eggs, and second, find Greg, too. Man, he escaped for the day. That's a whole nother story.
Well, Greg runs with eggs, so I'm sure that should be easy.
All right. Russell Baxter joining us. Once again, follow him on Twitter, at Bax Football Guru. Okay, coming up, we're going to do more on the schedule. Get more to this Falcons schedule. Your thoughts on it. What record you have them coming back with this year? I'll give you my prediction as well as we continue on this holiday Sunday morning, this game day holiday Sunday morning, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw hanging out here in the Kia Studios, 9 floors up at Tower up here in wonderful Colony Square, and looking outside and a beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. Hope you're enjoying this early Sunday morning, this holiday Sunday morning, wherever you may be around the area, and that you're traveling safely. And hope you'll spend some of this holiday with family or people that you care about. That's what holidays like Easter are all about. Hope you get a chance to do that. This reminder, compete forever, the A-Town Touchdown Madden Tournament. Next week, 4 of the best players in Atlanta will be playing for $1,000 in a spot in May's Grand Finals. So that's Access Replay. They got everything you want as far as gaming down there from 2 p.m. until 5. That says 112 Krog Street, Atlanta. And our very own Bo Johnson on the other side of the glass right now is going to be involved with that. We talked about esports earlier, and we talked about some things getting kind of chippy in the NBA K2 League, which I hadn't heard about the guys getting chippy at esports. We didn't think those guys did stuff like that, but hey, it gets heated, the competition. This is one that's coming up locally, and our very own Bo Johnson will be there. Just wanted to pass that along. As we're talking NFL, and we just had Russell Baxter on, and my goodness, he talked about the schedule, and we talked about the Falcons schedule, and what do you like about it? What you don't like about it? Do you like having all your division opponents in the second half after the bye week? Or do you wish you had them scattered out throughout the schedule? And that's what we kind of normally see that. And then we see a few in the back end. But just the idea that, you know, you got all of your big games that really decide whether or not you get into the postseason in the back half of your schedule. You don't see a single team from your division until November 10th. November 10th in New Orleans against the Saints. And that's how long you go into your schedule before you see a division opponent. So I kind of like the schedule simply because coming down the stretch, and like you said, just like Russell said, is everybody going to be healthy? Because health is a big part of it. You know, health is a big part of it. You know, the second half of your season, if anybody gets hurt early, can they get back in time for those games that mean so much as far as the postseason goes? The Carolina Panthers on November 17th, that's the first game in a stadium that doesn't have at least a retractable roof. Now, we mentioned the other teams that they'll play on the road. Other than that, the Falcons are kind of designed to be a little bit better indoors, and most of their games come in stadiums with the possibility of a roof, meaning they're not playing places like Chicago or Green Bay. They're playing Minnesota. That's a retractable. They're playing Indianapolis. That's a retractable. They're playing in Houston. The same thing there, and the same is true in Arizona. So the on-the-road games they play in the first half of the schedule before the bye are all in places. So if the weather is inclement, or even if it gets a skosh too hot in Arizona, they may still close it. So those are interesting points to think about this Falcons schedule for 2019. Now, my pick, and I said this yesterday, and Paul Crane, who will be coming in here a little later on today, to do a draft show with David T. Thomas from 2 until 4, said I bumped my head when I said I felt like the Falcons would go 10-6 this year. I said the Falcons could go 10-6. I've heard some people say 11 wins. I don't think I'll go as far as say 11 wins with this Falcons team. But if everyone comes back and is healthy and plays up to their potential, once again, health being the thing. Remember what we have with running back. Devontae Freeman is back. We want him to run like he runs, but we also know he's coming back off an injury. We need to have that guy healthy every week for that offense to really crank up and do the things that it should do. But I'm thinking 10-6, and that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking they stumble in the first week up in Minnesota, but they win over the Philadelphia Eagles. I got them winning that game. The Colts, people think the Colts are going to be a tough out. I think they win that one over the Colts, even though the Colts have much improved now that Luck is healthy and back at quarterback there. They beat Tennessee Titans. That's a question. Well, I think Houston is one that they lose. I think they go out there, and if they're a team that's got some ifs as far as health, as far as key players on that team, if those guys are healthy, I think they lose the game at Houston. They win at Arizona, even if Kyler Murray is there, whether or not, whichever. I think they get that win out there. But then the next two games, they come back home. I think there's a setback there with the Rams. I think they can win the next week against Seattle. That would be good. Then the break. Then you go on the road for your first two games in your division, and I think they probably would drop both of those first two. I think they dropped the one with the Saints Sunday afternoon, November 10th. I think they're going to drop the one at Carolina. That's the first real outdoor stadium game on the 17th. Then we get on a roll. You got Tampa Bay on the 24th. We got the Thanksgiving night game. We're going to have the turkey fried. I like your turkeys. This is going to be New Orleans. And of course, they're a little riled with us now because we put out that Game of Thrones theme commercial spot revealing the schedule this week, which everybody had a lot of fun with. Everybody thought it was kind of funny seeing the Rams come through and trounce the Saint marching up to a Mercedes-Benz Stadium and the official coming out. Everybody thought that was hilarious. I don't think the folks in New Orleans probably didn't think it was very funny, but all the folks around here got a little charge out of it. We think that was a lot of fun. So that's part of the schedule. I think the Falcons get them back here at home in the late game on Thanksgiving. You know, this is the late game. By that time, you've gone through your turkey. You've had your turkey sandwich. You're about down to your turkey soup or whatever you have by the time you get to 8:20 on Thanksgiving night, unless you get, you know, two or three turkeys wherever you go. Then they go Carolina Panthers. They beat them at home. The other game that gives me a little trouble is the game out at San Francisco, and that's the trip out west December 15th for the 49ers. I think the Niners may get the Falcons there, but they finish the season with wins over Jacksonville and Tampa Bay to wrap up the season. So that's what I see. I don't know how you see it. You can share what you think the Falcons would do with me. Share it with me, 404-741-0929. Your thoughts for what the season may hold for the Atlanta Falcons as, you know, they get set and the schedules are announced, and now we got the draft coming up this week, and next thing you know, the rookies and free agents will be on the field. Then we'll end up having some time where everybody comes back and gets together for, you know, a short period of time. You get into the OTAs, you take that break, and that break is going to be a shorter one this year, an earlier one than usual because the Falcons are playing an early preseason game. They're playing in the Hall of Fame game on August 1st. So you slide things up a bit to be ready to play on August 1st. Your time in camp, and before you know it, they're back out on the field playing the game, and this year playing five preseason games, which brings to question something that Russell talked about, how little we saw the starters or the frontline players in the preseason games last year. Remember, people were wondering, well, when are we going to see these guys? When are we going to see certain players play? We didn't see a lot of them in the first two games, and the third game has traditionally been known as a dress rehearsal. didn't see as much as we thought we would see even in that game. And you feel like, how can that not impact what the team does in the first couple of weeks of the regular season? Because they're finally on the field in a game together for an extended period of time, and that hasn't happened during the preseason. Just a reversal and a change in the way things are done throughout the National Football League. Now, I don't think the Falcons are anything different than anybody else in the league. I think everybody kind of monitors each other to see what you're doing. And obviously, we got some players that are coming back from injuries. You may not play them as much, but still, you know, the time on the field is nothing like the time on the field at game time, just to bring about that cohesion that you like to have with your team, especially if you're plugging in some new folks in some roles and doing some things to bolster your lines, which is so important with the Falcons. We saw that last year. Remember, team went to the Super Bowl, same offensive line every week. Now we know just how rare that is and how big that is for your success in your season in the NFL. Talk about that more as we go along this morning. Come up next hour, we're going to get into this thing with Atlanta United and talk about these NBA playoffs. Well, things have gotten real chippy and kind of nasty, but on an Easter Sunday morning, a game day Sunday morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.